Hello, guys. Welcome back to OK Zoomer Season 3. Is that what we had one episode of Season 2?
Yeah, I just took a sip of Mountain Dew, which I think sets the standard for
Season 3. Yeah, that's how you know we're back in the
So nasty.
But actually, what really made us do another episode is for my writing in the disciplines class.
Yeah, you say we decided. I didn't know we were doing this an hour ago.
Yeah, no, she didn't want to do it. And she's like, I'm not really feeling up for it. I'm like, it's due tonight. So what's due tonight is for writing in the disciplines, there's a project called like underappreciated research. And you can either choose to write a really long paper or two alternative media versions. And
is that all I am to you is alternative media?
Pretty much. And so...
Gotta stop drinking that, okay.
We're gonna do a podcast where I'm going to try to explain Web3
oh my god,
to Noah, kind of in the vein of our very first episode where I tried to convince her that privacy was a good
I forgot that was the origin. Okay,
so we're getting back to our roots.
All right.
Anyway, so I guess before we dive into Web3, is there anything that you want to update people on and what's been happening since like a year ago?
Nope.
All right. Me either. So
let's power through.
Oh, actually, we are both working at the same company.
We are. In the grand scheme of things, we now work post-grad together, so...
Yeah, sorry if we also keep maxing out the audio. I don't know if you can tell, but we're not in the studio like we used to be. We are recording in my apartment with a microphone that's just sitting in between us on the table, so... Yeah.
Took a step down.
Yeah. Glory days are long gone for us.
They won't let us in the studio anymore.
But yeah, so... Web3, do you know anything on the topic?
No.
Awesome. Because that means I'm justified in calling it underappreciated.
Okay, sounds good.
So, Web3 it's kind of just a buzzword right now in the tech circles. Like, the joke is that if you say Web3 in any part of your presentation, investors will just throw millions of dollars at you.
Love it.
But to understand Web3, you kind of got to know what Web1 and Web2 were.
that does stand to reason.
So Web1 was like the very beginning of the internet when things were... She's... Stop drinking the Mountain Dew.
So gross. I'm sorry. All right. Web 1.
Web 1. Just the early days of the internet where it's just static web pages. Like, instead of a newspaper, we now have the newspaper, but online. Okay. And that was pretty much the extent of it. Just static web pages. Web 2 is where we get a lot of these centralized organizations where we have Facebook, we have Google, we have YouTube. And that is pretty much the internet for most people. And it becomes very interactive. You're posting on social media, interacting with other people's posts. It's not these static pages.
Wait, so is it a descriptive word, or is it like a service? Like, I'm using Web2, or is it just like an adjective to describe something?
Yeah, it's kind of that time period of the internet.
Okay, got it.
They call Web2. And so Web3 is what's coming next with...
is this the metaverse?
Yes. So it's related. It's not exactly the same thing.
Okay.
But Web3 is a move away from these centralized organizations and to a decentralized form of the internet where you aren't dependent on Twitter or Facebook for all of your content. And so I think a good way to explain it is, like, remember when Trump was banned from Twitter in whenever that was? So whether or not you think Twitter had the right to do that, or whether it was a good thing to do or whatever, the reality is they did it, and they could do it because Trump was on their platform, and it was then that a lot of people realized that, like, you don't own your data on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Twitter owns your data. Mm-hmm. And they can kick you off whenever they see fit. And so the a decentralized version of Twitter would be that the data itself is owned by each of the users.
Okay.
And then the front end, like how you view that data, mm-hmm. would be something like Twitter. But the reality is that anyone could just make another version of Twitter as another way to see the data. Because the data itself is not owned by one organization. So how would that be done is mm-hmm. the big question. And because typically, like, to have data interoperable between platforms... Sorry, we're going to get a little in the weeds here.
All right. I'm tracking.
Is the company would have to format the data in such a way that it could be transferred to another place. And they would have to let you do that. And so there's not really one standard of doing that. And most of the time, companies do not let you do that.
So like, they own the data. They don't own it. They just hold on to it?
Yeah, like Twitter would not let you just feed all of your tweets into another platform.
Yeah.
They only want it on Twitter to have people on Twitter.
Okay.
And so then comes blockchain.
Oh, God. Okay.
This is all crypto.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'm not going to go super into the weeds of how the blockchain works.
Thank you.
But basically, it allows the data mm-hmm. side to be completely decentralized, have one standard, mm-hmm. and not have to be hosted on one server. Because basically, like, all of the Twitter data is hosted on Twitter servers. Even if they wanted to open it up to other services, like they wanted Facebook to be able to use their data, mm-hmm. they would be the ones paying for it, so they don't really want to do that.
Sure.
But if it is decentralized, everyone's kind of paying for it. No one has to foot the entire bill. And so... we're going to move away from the Twitter aspect for a second.
Okay, all right.
I think a better way of thinking about this might actually be through video games.
Okay.
So, in Animal Crossing, you...
Now you're speaking my language!
You spend hours and hours... I don't play Animal Crossing, so I...
I do spend hours and hours, so this tracks.
Like building your island or something?
Yes. And
unlocking items? Are there items that you unlock?
Yeah, you can unlock items.
So now what happens when you stop playing Animal Crossing mm-hmm. or let's say Animal Crossing shuts down or something? All of those items that you unlocked, all that time you spent is effectively gone. Mm-hmm. Has this happened to you? Are you done with Animal Crossing? Is that the
I still play it, but I've been playing it now for like 15 years. So like other versions of the games I've played are lost on a DS or a GameCube.
Okay. So yeah. So now what if those items that you unlocked mm-hmm. were not locked to Animal Crossing mm-hmm. and instead they were stored in this decentralized blockchain? So like, you play Animal Crossing, you unlock a new outfit or something.
I don't know what this is. I don't know what girls do when they play video games.
Then, instead of it just being locked to your copy of Animal Crossing, you could sell that dress to another Animal Crossing player. You could monetize your play.
We could paint each other's nails and talk about boys.
All right, now we're going to make it guns. In Counter-Strike.
Oh, no.
I tried to make it relatable.
I'm playing The Witcher right now. Is that...
Okay, sure.
All right, we're losing the metaphor. Go back to the dress. Go to the dress on Animal Crossing.
The dress. If let's say you just quit playing Animal Crossing and you don't want to have entirely lost all that time you sunk into the game, then you could sell all of your items to someone else mm-hmm. because it's not locked to Animal Crossing. Or let's say Nintendo does something to Animal Crossing you don't like they get rid of some feature and Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's no longer fun. And so since all of, let's say someone makes a copy of Animal Crossing that still includes that feature, and it's very similar but just different enough to get around intellectual property and stuff.
Okay.
But, and you like that version of the game more, but you don't really want to dive into it because you already earned all of this stuff in the mm-hmm. original Animal Crossing, so you don't want to start all of that over.
Yeah.
But if all those items were actually stored in a decentralized way, mm-hmm. the creator of that game could just see all of the items that you had already unlocked in Animal Crossing and let you use them in their new game.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. And so what this like kind of adds an economy to everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I just described was NFTs. I tried to avoid using the term NFTs for as long as possible, because I know the connotation that comes with them right now.
Yep.
But that is essentially what an NFT is. It is an item that is stored on the blockchain, mm-hmm. and anyone from any platform can access it. So, another use case for this is, like, concert tickets.
Okay.
If you bought a concert ticket as an NFT...
Mm-hmm.
Or let's say when you normally buy a concert ticket, let's say you can't end up going to the concert, and so you have to sell it. How would you normally sell it?
I don't know, like on the internet, like on like Craigslist or whatever.
StubHub or something?
Yeah.
So the ability to transfer that ticket is not really built in. You have to go to some third-party service.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make a listing. They have to, they take a cut of how much you're selling it for.
Yeah.
And if you, even if you, like, let's say you do the Craigslist option,
mm-hmm.
how do you know that they're going to pay you? Like, I don't know how that works. I'm genuinely asking.
Yeah, I don't know. They, like, Venmo you, and then you send them, like, the tickets. I don't know. I just have my other friends do this for me. I don't really, you know, the last person I saw in concert, or the semester that I did this with?
What?
It was Pitbull.
Okay. He's still around, huh?
Yeah, he still is. Best $20 I've ever spent.
$20. So, but basically, like, you have to trust that either the person you're sending the tickets to uh-huh. has to trust that you're actually going to send it when they yeah. send the money, or vice versa. Yeah. Or you have to trust a third party like StubHub to handle the exchange for you.
Yeah.
But in exchange, they take a cut.
Yes.
With NFTs, transferability is built in,
mm-hmm.
and so you can set up a smart contract is what it's called, but it's basically just code that says whenever someone sends me X, do X, and okay. or do Y. And so whenever someone sends me $300 for this, transfer this NFT to them. It's automatically yeah. done. There's no fee that you have to pay mm-hmm. to the third party. And so it just makes all of these platforms that exist just because they require a trusted third party
mm-hmm.
to not be required
okay.
anymore. And so, but it also just opens up totally new paradigms of things where you can commoditize everything. Like, let's say, sorry, this is not a lot of back and forth. This is me.
That's okay. I'm just chilling.
But let's say that there was some indie artist that you believe that you knew before anyone else and that they were eventually going to make it big.
Okay.
That creator could issue NFTs, like some sort of collectibles, mm-hmm. or a token or something that just basically says... there could be experiences tied to it. Like, if you mm-hmm. own this NFT, then you get to come backstage at my next show. Or, like,
mm-hmm.
if you own this much of the token, you actually get a percentage of my profits. Like, you could actually invest Ooh. In an artist this way.
That's hot. Okay. Yeah.
And so, let's say that happens, and then they do blow up.
Mm-hmm.
You buy their NFTs or something, and they do eventually blow up. Well, now the value of that NFT that you bought, right? It's like having the rookie card of a baseball player.
Yeah.
Those are now worth a lot. And you have just made money because you have seen talent early.
Mm-hmm.
and it just adds this whole level of incentive. It makes the discovery process more fun. No longer is the only incentive what?
It just feels like I'm betting on a real person, like I'm dealing stocks in a real person now.
Yeah, but
that doesn't seem fun.
You don't have to. It's all opt-in.
Yeah.
But it just, like, right now, a lot of people love thinking that they are the only ones who know this indie artist.
Yeah.
And what if they could actually make money and not just gloat?
All right.
I don't know. That's probably pretty far off. I don't know how big a part of it that's going to be. But I'm more interested in the aspects of, like, Twitter, where, like, one thing about Twitter is if you want to, like, let's say you get really big on Twitter, and then you want to make an Instagram account.
Yeah.
How do you transfer all your followers from Twitter to Instagram? You can't.
Yeah.
You basically just have to say, hey, everyone, please go follow me on Instagram. And maybe 20% of them do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just doesn't carry over very well. But what if all of your followers were on a decentralized platform that connected to all of them? Like, you could have all of your... What's that look?
I'm recalling how I made you read a book called The Circle, and how you are now, and you were like, that's not that good, and now you're describing the exact plot.
No, because this is different, because The Circle was centralized. Like, The Circle owned everything.
Yeah.
Like, spoiler alert for The Circle, skip the next 2 minutes if you don't want this, but they are able to blackmail a politician with this data they find out about her. I can't remember what, but, like, and it's because they're the only ones that have the data.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't that they're the only ones who own it and it's all opt-in.
But this is what I'm saying. Isn't this sort of, even though all the information is decentralized, if you're not really relying on a separate platform like Twitter versus Instagram versus Facebook, aren't you just kind of using one centralized platform?
So, yes, in that it's all in one place.
Yeah.
Except no, in that no one owns it.
I mean, if all of my friends are on the metaverse, yeah. I sound like an old person, like, we're all on the metaverse, and I'm like, I'm really not liking the metaverse, even if I own all my data, I don't really have anywhere else to go besides the metaverse.
Yeah, I think...
That feels like...
There will still be centralized options. Like, Facebook is not going to disappear.
Because it just sort of fade out over time? Because it's just not adapting and new and things like that?
Maybe. But, like, leaving the metaverse... So, another part about it, all of this is it's pseudonymous. I can never say this word. Is it pseudonymous?
I don't even know what word you're trying to say.
Pseudo-anonymous? Like, pseudonymity?
Oh, okay. Yeah, go for it.
I don't know what you really mean by, like, I want to leave the metaverse, but
If Instagram's getting too much because every single time I go on there someone's getting engaged, I'll just go to Twitter because people's lives are equally as trash as I am. If I'm on the metaverse and I'm like, wow, I'm really hating this,
I see. Yeah.
Where else am I going to go?
So you can still split it up. It's not like all of your data has to be tied to one account. Like, you might have, this is my video game persona, and this is my close friends persona, and you could actually split those accounts and no one would know that they're tied together. That's still possible.
Okay, but, like, I'm more concerned not necessarily with, like, the data aspect of it, but just the natural progression of a lack of competition if one thing is in charge of everything.
So the competition would come in via the user experience.
Okay.
Because the data itself, there's nothing really to compete there. Like, you're the one creating it. You're just competing with other people. You're not competing with a platform in that sense.
No.
I'm going to pause and turn up the AC because it's really hot. Okay, so the competition would... I don't think data is the place to compete. What is the place to compete is the platform itself, like how you see the data.
Mm-hmm.
Now, instead of Twitter not really having competition because everyone's on Twitter. And to make a better Twitter, you would have to get everyone from Twitter onto that new platform.
Yeah. And start from scratch.
Yeah.
I'm tracking.
Since all the data is already over and you can just automatically migrate everyone to the new one, what you're really competing on is the experience. So you can make a better visual experience of Twitter. You're competing on the front end as opposed to the back end.
Okay, when you say the data, like, am I transferring, I guess it could be anything, but like photos, like thoughts I've had on Twitter?
So,
because a lot of, to me, like my tweets on Twitter are like too integrated into like the experience of the app itself for it to necessarily translate it to anything else.
Yeah, and so that'll be up to the creators and platforms to like figure out, like, obviously, yeah, it would be weird if your Instagram content started showing up on Twitter. Like, that you do have different reasons for using both. Mm-hmm. And so the way it would look like on the data side is there would be some sort of tag mm-hmm. that is like, you tag this stuff as... you could tag it as Instagram, or you can tag it as like personal, or like you could tag it in different ways.
All right.
So that it only shows up on certain kinds of platforms. So you would have control. And if all of a sudden you did want your Instagram content to show up on your Twitter, mm-hmm. you could just change the tags and they would.
Interesting. Okay.
And okay. I say Instagram and Twitter. These companies are probably not going to survive in the transition to Web3. It'll probably be something different.
I kind of don't really use anything besides TikTok, and I don't even post there. I can't post on anything.
No, you posted your books.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's pretty much the only thing I do now, but...
Read.
It's just trashy books. It's not a flex. Yeah, okay. I would be interested in anything else other than the social media is going on, because it's just so boring.
Yeah. I think, for me personally, I am most interested in the video game aspect, because there are some games where I've, like, sunk a lot of time into them, and then I just kind of stopped, and if I could get some of that back out by selling the stuff I earned to the people who still play the game, that'd be nice.
That would be cool. You're gonna pry my Animal Crossing dresses from my cold dead corpse, but anything else is free reign.
Yeah, and I think... It'll also just be interesting when you can carry over stuff in between games, like, like when you have all your Animal Crossing stuff, and then there's a new VR game, mm-hmm. and suddenly you could have all your Animal Crossing stuff in VR, like, it just opens up a lot of weird...
I would have put my dresses on Geralt the Witcher.
Yeah, like, you could do that, because they would have access to it, so...
Alright, that's fun.
Yeah, so that's kind of... a really big overview of Web3. I gotta do another medium. I think I'm gonna do like a blog post that goes more in depth of like the technology of how it works, maybe.
Okay. Yeah.
But I appreciate you sitting through that and letting me, I don't know if you really
can I explain like the Jake Gyllenhaal drama?
Yes.
Or
all right, Professor. This is where you can stop listening if you would like. Or you can now listen to Jake Gyllenhaal.
Okay. You either get Taylor Swift and Jake Gyllenhaal, or you can get Olivia Rodrigo and Joshua Bassett. What do you know less about?
I feel like I know quite a bit about both. And my sister actually goes to school with Joshua Bassett's sister.
No way!
She was going to meet Joshua Bassett over...
Oh, I would be taking it to the streets with that man!
Oh. But, I'm probably not on your side on either of these.
Oh my god! Are you a Jake Gyllenhaal sympathizer?
I just think that if... I'm
going to
get so much
yourself.
Hate mail.
Defend yourself right now.
I just think that if... Taylor Swift can go through, what, 6 boyfriends and write songs about all of them, that maybe she's the problem and not the boyfriends?
Okay, I'm going to say that... One, her music is her creative outlet. She's not necessarily giving the same reaction for every single boyfriend she's had.
Okay.
Jake Gyllenhaal's is in a specific era of her life where their age difference is 10 years. And she's pretty young. Okay, so she's like 20.
Okay, so two consenting adults, continue.
Two consenting adults, you're right. That's not necessarily the issue. But it's more like he's still a grown adult who has a history of dating, like, much younger women. And, like, a huge critique of it is, like, I'm simultaneously too young and also feel too old. And rumor has it, sorry, professor, that he, like, took her virginity. It's, like, a whole thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's just kind of gross. She's two consenting adults.
What's the gross part about it? I hear people be mad at him, but I don't actually hear
that he is a dude who is older.
Who dated a younger woman? Like, that's the entirety of it?
Yeah, and just, like, was kind of a jerk to her.
Okay, what's that part? What's that? How was he a jerk to her? I haven't heard that.
From her side of the story, it seems like he was just sort of like a gaslighting, girl bossing kind of dude.
I can understand getting mad at him for that. I don't really get the anger, because clearly there are a lot of relationships between older and younger people that people don't get angry about.
I think that there's, like, 10 years is not a big deal, maybe, like, later in life. 10 years is a big deal when you're 20 years old and he's 30 years old. That's a big age difference.
So you would not be a fan of that, with even if it didn't turn out poorly?
I would still think it's gross. And then this does relate to Olivia Rodrigo, because, like, Olivia Rodrigo looks up to Taylor Swift and is really heavily inspired by her. But Olivia Rodrigo is currently dating, an older dude as well.
Ah.
And so it's sort of like, it's a common theme in Hollywood.
Joshua Bassett?
No, she's dating somebody else. Okay. It's Jake Gyllenhaal is sort of indicative of, like, a larger culture in the music industry in Hollywood, which is just older men preying on younger girls.
Drake, Millie Bobby Brown.
Yeah, exactly! And then there's this whole theory that, like, depending on when you get famous is sort of when, like, a lot of your emotional maturity can kind of slow down or even stop. And so she, you know, a couple years ago is gathering fame, dating through a lot of men, and then is sort of... Although there's reason to be said that she dated Harry Styles, and I think she was older than him. And I think he might have been 17 and she was like 22 or something.
Is
so.
That illegal?
I don't love it either.
I actually did hear about that. It was like they announced that they were dating like a week after he turned 18. So,
which,
like,
gross.
Yeah,
gross. I'm not necessarily in the frame of, like, I will take Taylor Swift side at any point. I'm more like, I will take potentially the person who I feel is being taken advantage of, which is Jake Gyllenhaal dating someone who's incredibly famous at the time, treating them like trash, dumping them, like, when they're, you know, not living up to this standard, leaves her alone on her 21st birthday. Criminal. And then Taylor Swift sort of doing the same thing, which as soon as somebody turns 18, like, the legality is the only thing stopping you from dating them. That's icky.
Yeah. All right. I see that.
Absolutely disgusting. Disgusting. That's the only pop culture thing I know going on.
Yeah,
right now.
I've been so out of pop culture. I feel like I actually knew a lot about that.
Yeah, it's a little bit dated, but I was pretty excited for
the
10.
Have you been watching Hawkeye?
No.
What?
I don't know. It seems boring.
Have you watched the other Marvel shows?
I watched WandaVision, which I was a huge fan of. I didn't watch Falcon Winter Soldier, and I did watch Loki.
Did you like Loki?
Yeah, but I liked Loki for the fact that, you know, Tom Hiddleston is handsome, and I love anything with the multiverse.
Okay, but you've liked... two of the...
Okay, let me be more specific. I liked WandaVision and Loki because they were similar shows. It was like, it's magic, it's fun. Yeah. They're both, like, kind of complicated, not traditionally good characters. And then, what, one of them flies and one of them has a metal arm. Jeremy Renner doesn't even have superpowers. He's just a guy.
Yeah. I will watch anything Marvel.
I'm excited for Spider-Man and Multiverse of Madness. I am a diehard Andrew Garfield fan. He stars in all my favorite chick flicks, The Amazing Spider-Man and The Social Network.
Have you watched? Oh, yes. Big fan.
Big fan of my favorite chick flicks.
Let me clarify. I was referring to The Social Network. But yeah, I really like the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man movies. I have not seen the Tobey Maguire ones.
Yeah.
I want to.
They're like good. I watched them when I was a lot younger. That was the first Spider-Man movies I watched. I don't know.
Yeah. Do you already have your tickets for
Spider-Man? No, I didn't buy them. I trusted that my younger brother is going to buy them and we'll see it together.
Speaking of NFTs.
Oh, God!
The first, 85,000 people to pre-order Spider-Man tickets from AMC get some Spider-Man NFT. So we'll see
That's
if
pretty cool.
I was in that first. I did pre-order them bad enough. I was that early. I'm seeing it the day it comes out at, like, I think it's like 4 p.m. Texas time.
Yeah.
And
it's next week or something, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's
exciting.
Like Wednesday or Thursday. And my roommates were like, they're also seeing it that day. And they're like, we're going to text you and spoil it for you. I'm like, time difference. I'm actually seeing it before you. I'll spoil it for you.
Yes. I think I remember seeing the only one that I felt like had the same level of hype was Endgame. Is that the name of it?
Avengers Endgame?
Yeah. That was the last one I remember everyone being like so excited to go to theaters for and like couldn't spoil it.
Well, that was the last Marvel movie that came out before COVID.
Oh, that's true. Because I didn't see Black Widow. I didn't see
Shang-Chi.
I did see that one. That one was good. That one was good.
But yeah, those all came out during COVID. This is also kind of COVID, but also
who the heck knows what's going on right now. I don't know. I still never got the vid.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, as far as I know, I didn't. Could be asymptomatic. Like, I never got tested to see if I ever did get it, but triple vaxxed.
I haven't got my booster yet.
Omicron's coming for you then.
I heard that you're supposed to wait a little bit or something.
I have no idea.
I don't know either. Heard that, I'm not a scientist.
I got my third vaccine before Omicron or whatever came out.
I was listening to The Daily, which I know you have your opinions about. But I was listening to it. They were talking about Omicron.
I thought you had a great take on who listens to The Daily.
I think as long as you're self-aware. Michael Barr was talking to somebody, and they're like a scientist. And they're like, okay, so how do you
Michael who now?
Barr?
Oh, I thought you said Barr.
He just says it so fast.
This is Michael Barr.
This is the Daily.
Listen to The Daily.
Is he talking to like a scientist about it? He's like, so how do you say it? Omicron? She's like, Omicron. And he's like, okay.
Omicron.
He's like, but say it slower. And she just keeps saying it really fast. It was like an accidentally funny intro that I think he was like, okay, but you're not answering the question of how to say it.
Was that on your Spotify Wrapped? Was that your number one?
That was podcast? My number one podcast.
My number one was Bankless.
I don't even know what that one is.
It's a crypto podcast.
No.
I think my number two was...
Don't say Ben Shapiro.
Yeah, we're actually not going to... It was Ben Shapiro.
Oh, my God.
It was election season, and I don't really listen to him when it's not election season, but I appreciate
it. What if you just didn't listen to him at all?
Oh, I don't know. What was the... What were we talking about a second ago?
The Daily, Ben Shapiro... Say it still.
Back on Omicron. Or Omicron.
No, no.
In high school, I took... like 2 years of Greek or something.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And
so you should know how to say it.
I should. I don't remember any part of Greek except for this song.
What?
That taught you how, or it just helped you memorize the Greek alphabet.
Okay.
So let me see if I remember.
Yeah, no, pop off.
Alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon, zeta, eta, theta, iota, kappa, gamma, nu, mu, xi, omicron, pi, rho, sigma, tau, epsilon, phi, chi, psi, omega.
He's like sorority girl.
So I think it was Omicron.
Okay.
But I don't know if that song was right. That was my source of truth on that.
Yeah. Well, we tried. Yeah. I don't know.
All right. Well, we have... I hope all of you who have been asking us for another OK Zoomer episode are somewhat satiated by this.
It was like 70% NFT talk.
I apologize. I need to turn this in like a few hours.
Oh god, okay.
I'm going to edit this, write a quick blog post. Shout out, professor.
Put it on campus.
Yeah, the professor's probably going to be the first one to listen to this because it might take a minute for me to actually put it on Spotify. But
okay. Yeah. Love you, besties. We miss you.
We will post this on the Instagram as soon as, if I still have access to that, whenever it comes out.
Who knows?
All right, and this is where we would do our fade-out music if I still had that file.
I don't even remember it. Do you know how to sing it?
No.
No, me neither.
I was going to do the Ramsey fade-out. I can't. Mars isn't coming to mind. Anyway, we'll add it in post if we find it. That's Dave Ramsey. Okay, so Noah wanted to tell me something.
Okay.
Oh, we're saying names now, I guess.
Yeah, we are. Okay, I'm going to embarrass myself because I don't fully understand, but we were talking about how Trisha Paytas got married. And if you don't know who this is, you shouldn't listen to this at all because you need a decent amount of background. This woman has changed religions. Like, she has tried every religion. She looked at the coexist sign and has been working her way through it. And
I need to find a TikTok about that. Maybe I keep going.
Currently, I think she might be Buddhist.
No, she's Jewish.
She's Jewish
by... Well, that was the last one I heard.
This is direct. She's Jewish by insemination.
What?
Because her husband is Jewish. Okay, no, this is what happened. She was on a podcast show called Frenemies with, I think, of her friend named...
Ethan from H3.
Yes.
Ethan Klein or something.
And her career has just hit total rock bottom, but this was kind of just like a resurgence because he at least is a normal human being who could tolerate her. I saw clips of it on TikTok. I never watched it all the way through, but it was funny. Just cause she is a moron. I'm sorry.
She's dumb. Like
do yourself a favor and look up some Trisha Paytas clips because God, it's just hard to watch. But anyway, so she would say offensive stuff on that show all the time, especially towards her co-host. And he kind of tolerated it in a way that like I certainly would have, but good for him.
She also has like, she's schizophrenic or something, isn't she?
I don't know. She makes up also a new mental illness. So, like, even if she is, we have no way of knowing because, you know, who knows? But she starts dating her co-host's brother, okay?
Moses?
Moses.
Is Ethan's brother?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure that's how. And so, and then the, so they're dating, and then I think they're engaged. And then, I'm trying to remember because it happened a little while ago, but the show, like, blew up. Like, on air, they have a fight, and it ends the show. It's, like, you can watch it all the way through of, like, their friendship crumbling. And it's because, like, he did all of the work for the show, and she would just basically show up.
And she was, like, mad about how much the producers got paid or something?
Yeah, how much the producers got paid, and he got paid a little bit more than her. And he's like, yeah, because I literally do all the work. You just show up for an hour and then leave. And she's like, no, I shouldn't. And then there's also these clips of, like, I think Ethan had a baby with his wife or something, and she was, like, making it about her. It was, like, he had so much patience.
I saw a lot of bad clips.
It's, like, a train wreck. You have to watch it. But then she just got married in what looks like a motel conference room. Like, I thought she was a millionaire, and it's, like, her dress I saw was
$50,000. Four Seasons landscaping.
Literally, it's, like, the ugliest room. They sing, like, a song together, and it's, like, auto-tuned mics.
Oh, yikes.
But now they're married, and she's Jewish, but also spiritual, and I think Buddhist.
For those of you who aren't aware of Trisha, I'm gonna just play you a clip I found of her. Not racist because I eat rice.
She's insane. And like, I mean, I would be on the side of like, oh, don't call her insane, whatever. If one, she wasn't putting her entire life on the internet and making millions of dollars from people calling her insane, and two, she wasn't kind of a god-awful human being, I would feel worse about making fun of her. But she's not a good person.
No, she's not.
But she got married, and I can't wait to see. I'm gonna take some bets. I think her marriage will last a
conservative 1 year. I feel like...
How long have they been together?
I don't know, actually. Like, probably a little less than a year.
I also saw a clip of her, like, in an army movie or something. You have to look it up. It's so funny.
Yeah, I don't go directly to the source to her YouTube channel. I don't even know what that would be like.
I don't either. I just see it on TikTok.
Do yourself a favor. Look at some Trisha Paytas clips on TikTok. It's worth it.
And with that, that's the end of our episode.
All right.